Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When it's time to party, we always party hard, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England dicked Italy and Billy Gilmore scored for Scotland. It's Wednesday, 18th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Venetia Hantaraja.
Hi, everybody. Good to have you with us. And let us do a quick easy. Was it easy, Andy?
Yeah. Andy refuses to do it at the risk of offending his European partners. Andy thinks he's in some kind of like...
partners.
Yeah. He's like, it's all right for you, look. I'll go to the concert next week.
We should say thanks to Joe for sending that intro line.
Bit of Andrew WK.
I knew that wouldn't pass you by.
Yeah, definitely in the top two Andrew WK songs, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all about bloody noses this morning, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Andy, we want fun and we got it at Wembley last night, certainly in the second half.
You were there, Marcus.
Of course I was there.
Yeah.
Of course I was there.
Cheering on Gareth's brave boys.
Well...
were you personally drowning out all the people booing Henderson? Stop it! You and you!
The
like a supply teacher.
The gentleman from Sunderland in front of me certainly was. Right. And I applaud that man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to put him forward on the honours list. But
After you got the Italian fan behind you kicked out?
Yeah.
There was an Italian fan behind me who got kicked out. I didn't have to do anything, okay?
But I text anonymously.
You text that 61006 number. Yeah.
But England did win 3-1, and they've qualified for Euro 2024. Topped the group as well, Vish, just like you said. England would. And it was such a monumental occasion that the Great British Bake Off was moved for it.
Yeah, I can't forgive that. I can forgive many, many things, but I can't forgive that.
Okay,
fair enough. I'm looking forward to watching it afterwards.
That and Rick and Morty. It was great seeing Jules advertising Rick and Morty, by the way.
Jules has got proper Rick and Morty energy.
Yeah, oh, so, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Vish. Jude Bellingham.
Yes. I just don't want him to get hurt. That was my overriding emotion in
Such
September.
Such an English response.
It is, but let's be honest about it. Mm. He makes that side look completely different. Mm. One of the things that's interesting with how England are playing now is there's a conversation being had about England being a possession team. Mm-hmm. Now, they're more comfortable in possession, I would not describe them as a possession team in the sense that they're never going to post like 55%, 60% numbers against a team, because actually their possession generally goes one way. Mm-hmm. If you think of teams like, and we are talking about the very best teams in the world here, but you think about how they keep the ball, there is it's basically everything shifting around, mm-hmm. almost in a circle that they create, to all the various different corners of where their wide players are, whether they be at the front or back. England don't really have that. No. England keep possession, but they go in one direction, mm-hmm. which is fine, but it's a bit like rugby, whereby you're always going to be caught out of the back, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons I think it actually falls, you know, you're talking about England being good defensively. I think actually when you think about it, the really good teams defensively are the ones that just keep more of the ball. So mm-hmm. therefore, mm-hmm. you know, it's harder to attack them. With Bellingham, however, it's how we use that fun of like forward moving possession. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's just a catalyst for everything good. Like, you know, little things like the Marcus Rashford goal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Phil Foden's on the edge of his box, does a brilliant Phil Foden thing, but you rely on the other person who's there.
Yeah.
To have a good touch, mm-hmm. and to drive the ball forward, and that happens to be Jude Bellingham. Mm-hmm. There were various different, even like the decision making of like playing the ball to Rashford. And Rashford, I thought, was a bit off in the first half.
About 30 seconds before he scored, I said to him, mate, oh, I think maybe take him off.
but even in the movement of scoring, I thought, Kane's open, mate, passing the ball.
Yeah.
Throughout the game, Bellingham's just he's not a comfort blanket. He's a cape.
Yeah,
I feel like
he makes
everyone feel like superheroes. Mm.
He's and the thing about when you talk about what Southgate asked them to do, I feel like Bellingham is so good that he's not really a player that can be reined in.
Yeah,
no. That's why I think this is the team. Maybe Saka in for Rashford, but that's the team against top level opposition. I know people say, two defensive midfielders, why not stick Maddison in there? And yeah, maybe against some slightly poorer opposition, but you have to get the best out of Bellingham. I think if you put Maddison in there as well, you just get like 80% of Bellingham, if you see what I mean. You have to get 100% out of him.
And the fact that you've got Kane and Bellingham means that you can't play the way that Real Madrid play, and you probably need that extra midfielder.
Yeah, exactly. He's phenomenal. And I totally agree with what you said. You summed up very well there about England's passing, because there was a lot of ponderous possession. Now, of course, when England got themselves in front, that ponderous possession is much more acceptable, if you see what I mean. But the way Italy scored their goal, they were in a tight space and England were trying to press them. Let's be aggressive, let's be physical, because England can be those things. And Italy didn't look perturbed by that at all. And this is not a particularly great Italian side. In fact, they are now a little bit concerned about qualifying automatically. But they managed to work it, and Italy should have gone in the break 2-1 ahead. It was a wonderful worked chance. Sorry,
for a doggy.
And the Spurs man couldn't finish it off. And that's where you think England just can't quite play in those tight spaces. They can't quite create those things. And that's my sort of slight concern, is that the system and the, if you like, footballing culture, because it'll still take another generation or two, and hopefully we will get there at some point. They don't quite have that, but they have some excellent individuals and that physicality and power. But those reasons are why I think France are still the best side, because France have that ability and they also have the star quality as well. But we'll talk about France in a bit. But the fact of the matter is, England did come through and that star quality showed. I mean, Kane, with that second goal of his, the way he moves his body, it looks effortless. It doesn't look like he's an old-fashioned centre-forward, English centre-forward, who's all arms and elbow and he's really working. Mm. It looked just so natural. And even he said that, I showed a bit of pace, which is not usually me kind of thing.
But he is deceptively quick across the ground, though.
Yeah, he's like, acceleration.
With Kane, the amount of times you watch Kane play, particularly in person, and you never think of him as a quick player, but he still goes past people. He still glides across the pitch. He eats the ground up. Not in a kind of Haaland way.
Yes.
But because when Haaland gets up to top speed, it's like a fucking gazelle.
A strong runner rather than a fast runner.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing I liked about, you talked about Italy there, and I understand that they're in a transitional moment at the moment. They've got a new coach. A couple of those midfield players for Italy have got more caps than Bellingham.
Look at Barella. Yeah. What a player, European champion.
And one of the things that does typify Italy, I feel like, particularly if you take it back to the Euros final, quite canny, quite physical, quite strong. You know. Mm. And I know that Chiellini and Bonucci and stuff have perhaps moved on, but what I liked about Kane's goal was it was completely developed from himself. He worked the whole thing out on his own. But he also then, he was asked a physical question. Mm-hmm. When he was moving through on goal, he kind of nipped a ball ahead of someone, gets through on goal, and then he's asked a physical question by an Italian player and he just shrugs him off. And then he's still got the presence of mind to coolly finish. That kind of stuff is like gold dust.
Yeah.
It's absolute gold dust in a knockout game or a particularly key moment in a big match.
I think that's slightly different though, because from the moment the initial error is made, I think Bastoni can't touch him or he's off. I think that's the issue. Where you go back to what you were saying about Jude Bellingham and making the most of those moments of possession. When he wins the penalty, for example, mm-hmm. you know when you initially look at it and you think, oh, Di Lorenzo might have got the ball. And then you see the replay and you're like, right, okay, he definitely didn't.
Mm.
And you can understand why Di Lorenzo thought it was an okay tackle to
definitely.
Make.
Definitely.
Yeah. He was favourite. He was favourite.
I think
he
was, 100%. A lot of those times you think, oh, why have you thrown yourself in there? But you didn't think that. Bellingham's just that little bit too quick for him.
Yeah.
I think on the Bellingham thing, just to say my piece on Bellingham very quickly, I think, you know, you realistically, I know he's only 20 years old, but you're realistically looking now.
Well, Gianfranco Zola apparently was still getting milk from his mother when he was 20. That's what he said on Channel 4, which was a startling admission.
Yeah. Imagine if Bellingham just went, yeah, me too.
Well, but didn't Bellingham turn around and he went, you what?
Yeah. But I do just want to make a couple of points then. One is like a more broad point about where he sits in the pantheon of England players, which is that if you, for someone of our age, roughly watching football, you know, you've got a handful of players for England who stand out as being iconic mm-hmm. performers. I'm probably going to miss
Gascoigne, Beckham.
Gascoigne, Beckham, probably mm-hmm. Owen, yeah. Maybe Gerrard.
Lineker,
yeah, Rooney. Uh-huh. You know, you got these kind of players. Bellingham really is going to very, very rapidly take his place there as long as he stays fit. And secondly, the reality is the bar is quite low. All he's got to do is win something.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You know, he's basically established already as an England legend if he does that. And that's a big ask, but he can. And the final thing I would say is just that even in the short amount of time since he's gone to Real Madrid and I've seen him play, I've actually noticed a lot more of a swagger about him. More of a confidence.
You saw it last
boost.
Night.
He's a player. And someone said to me once, I forget who it was, ages ago, about how the really world-class legendary players, they're essentially dominating the entire pitch.
Yeah. So he always had that. The way he conducts the crowd and everything, he's always had that.
Yeah.
But it's with a lot more swagger now. Like, it's now like you can
because you're doing it at Real Madrid.
You can feel like even wherever he is on the pitch, all the other opposition players are concerned about
him. He's not fazed by anything. And I think, you know, there was at times where he, as you say, Andy, he was conducting the crowd. And there was a moment where he went to get the ball in front of the Italy fans. And obviously they're all jeering him and giving him all the signs and whatnot. Yeah. And he turned round and looked at them and was just like, all right, like that, is it?
Loving it, yeah.
And he is drawing so much from that.
Do you know what it's like?
He's sucking it all in going, thanks, lads, that's a boost I really need.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like prime Prince Nassim Hamed and Chris Eubank.
Lovely reference.
Just soaking up that energy.
I don't think that's unfair. Like, you see him on the pitch afterwards when he got the interview afterwards and he just turns around the crowd and goes, did you enjoy that?
Yeah. I stayed for it.
Yeah, I did, Jude. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because I was squeezing my testicles at the time.
Not again.
I know. It was a chilly evening. But
just don't do it so hard.
Okay. go hard or go home. But Calvin Phillips.
That's why the Italian fan did go home.
Couldn't take the...
Stop
anyway,
it.
Anyway,
yeah.
You started this. Calvin Phillips said, I want minutes. I want to go to the Euros. We will see what happens. He admitted that he was fortunate not to be sent off, and Southgate sort of quickly withdrew him after that and brought on fan favourite Jordan Henderson. But Calvin Phillips, he will go. I mean, talk about, oh, should he be there? He will go unless he's injured or he literally does not play another minute. And also, Vish, if he does start, say, 10 games for Manchester City this season, maybe in the league or in the cup and all the rest of it, he will be fresh.
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying.
I mean, he won't.
But I think Harry Maguire's situation has told Cam Phillips enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's told him that basically you're going to the Euros.
You're only as good as your last game. And of course, Maguire did start for Manchester United in his last game in the Premier League.
That's all it takes, is it?
Well, I mean, you
right.
know.
I tell you what, we'll do a compromise, right? You start one game for me, you're in. That's the standard.
Maguire was good last night.
Well, I mean, I think he was all right. I wouldn't say he was good. I would. If
it's unbelievable.
No, but I'm not saying he was particularly bad. I mean, there were a couple of times where he could have passed earlier. If you really want to have this conversation, we can have it. But we don't want to have it. I don't want to have it.
Okay.
But
with regards to Calvin,
can I just say I don't want you to have it?
Exactly. Fine. Don't think the listeners want us to have it either. But what I would say about Phillips is mm-hmm. Maguire's situation has shown him that he's going to go to the Euros.
Yeah.
And I suppose now you know, initially those quotes, when I heard them, I was like, oh, wow, okay, you know, potential loan move. No, I think he's just talking realistically, like, to be at his best, he needs minutes, yeah. And I suppose he's going to get them at the back end because that's generally how things work in a league season. Also, when you consider the injuries that Man City have had, I feel like they're going to have to call him in a little bit more for preservation alone.
Yeah.
So there might be that, I suppose.
Sorry, Fish to cut him. There's another angle on this, which is that it's being reported by some outlets this week that Bayern Munich are interested in Calvin Phillips, which is a great move for the whole of Marcus Speller. Because right, if they come back in January for a player...
He gets his minutes, we get to keep Joao Palhinha. Yeah. Everyone's happy.
That's a good shout.
No, I'm happy.
Is there anything in that, the Bayern Munich thing?
Honestly, the defensive midfielders, they're way, way down the list now.
You know, right.
The players they've looked at, I mean, they will end up going for someone quite surprising. You know that, you know who they're looking at centre half backup at the moment? Socrates.
Oh, right.
Wow.
He's 35.
So, but could Calvin Phillips be an option for them, even on loan for 6 months?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Hey, you're liking that, aren't you?
I would love that. Get him and Socrates in.
Yeah, there we go.
I think he will go to the Euros, absolutely. Someone who else who will go to the Euros as well is Mark Gay, who came on and looked pretty assured, actually, and I thought that was quite
especially
encouraging.
Especially when he took that pass.
Unbelievable. What a touch.
The throat pass.
That was like a Roy Keane first day of training.
It was a great touch, though, and he ultimately ended up with an assist for that case.
And Pickford ended up with a completed pass.
As soon as he did that, I literally said on the sofa, I said to myself, fuck me, deal with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Also, the Pickford obviously tries to do it as a disguised pass. Mm. And, you know, with that kind of deception, that you need to have a bit of not just confidence, but composure as well. And he just twists and leathers it at him. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So, yeah, look, it's a great win for England. Pleasing for a number of reasons. It was great for Marcus Rashford to score as well, because his confidence a bit low, perhaps? I don't know. Surprising. Fikayo Tomori and Eddie Nketiah were left out of the squad. Nketiah kind of get Tomori. Just seems like a funny situation, doesn't it? I mean, he played against Australia, but I think
what's going on with that?
Yeah, I think he obviously prefers Duncan Gay as backup to Stones and Maguire. Gay, Gay, I totally get. Dunk, you think, well, okay, maybe a bit more of a replacement for Maguire, if indeed you wanted that. But Tomori, I think Tomori is probably looking forward to when England get a new manager when Southgate moves.
He is.
He
must be.
Yeah.
I guess international football is littered with that type of stuff, right? If you've got a player that just isn't being fancied, or there's other players in that position. So we've talked about this before, haven't we? We talked about how, like, if England truly want to be a big nation in international football again, they need to understand that you can't just shoehorn every single good player that comes along in, because that's a really small club mentality, small team mentality.
I mean, again, like what people were talking about, say, Ward-Prowse, I think Southgate likes to have a very mobile, very energetic, industrious midfield who are going to play in those positions. And Phillips, I would say even Henderson, over the years, what he's done, you know, they're more like that than, say, someone like Ward-Prowse. Ward-Prowse provides a lot in terms of set pieces and so on. But I think even though he's got, 11 caps for England, and I would have thought all of them were under Southgate, I think he'll take an injury or two.
I think Rice and Phillips at the base of midfield is a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that.
And Henderson is the backup to...
I would agree, but I think the X factor of that conversation around Ward-Prowse specifically is, I think, two-pronged. One is that's all well and good, but he's picked Ward-Prowse before when he's been in nowhere near as good a form as he is now. Mm-hmm. And secondly, he's a different option that in a tournament might provide you with something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are coming up against it and you're having one of those games where you're like, it's just not our day today, and you need to try something different, you need to push for a set piece, you need to get a corner or a free kick or whatever, last 20 minutes when the chips are down, he's a much more different option. Because for all you say about Rice and Phillips, Fish, and I agree with you, they're not really providing anything other than the blur.
But he wants industry in there, which is why Conor Gallagher's in there as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's another story.
But you would feel, I agree, I think Ward-Prowse might be worth another look, but there we are.
Also, now that they've qualified ahead of time, there's a bit more, there's basically another round of fixtures to work this all out.
And Gareth Southgate is always very keen on experimenting.
Yeah, clearly. There we go. Yeah.
You want to go back to Sven, do you?
Yeah.
You do.
Eight changes at half-time. Yeah. That kind of thing. Gentlemen, before we go for a break, former England man Gary Neville has got himself a new role on Dragon's Den, no less. The BBC released a first look into the new season of Dragon's Den yesterday. And Gary Neville will be a guest dragon. According to Deborah Meaden, Gary Neville was utterly brilliant and owned the chair. He brought his own chair in.
Did he sit down? And, oh, this is lovely. I'll take it. Yeah.
Imagine if he sat down and they just went, so did you enjoy your time into Miami? And he's like, oh, I've got a bit the wrong person.
Yeah.
Phil Neville's not got enough money to be a dragon, has he?
Phil Neville, I don't. You need to project. Because if you think about where they're sitting and where the
warehouse,
would you sort of entrepreneurs, I suppose?
Yeah, I guess,
those who want the dragons to invest in their business, they're too far away and they just wouldn't hear Phil.
And Phil Neville's got the energy of a bloke who's regularly calling his brother up asking to borrow a tenner, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, the guy the guy walks, he's like, can I get 110% of your business? I don't think that's possible, Phil.
Can you lend me some money just until payday?
I like this kind of work.
How much are you going to give me for investing? Again, Phil, you sort of misunderstood what
Sorry, what was the pitch again?
Well, speaking of entrepreneurs and people with money in the game, did you see QPR owner Tony Fernandez sharing a photo of himself receiving a topless massage during a business meeting on LinkedIn?
I did
Absolutely
see it.
Absolutely stunning stuff.
I did see it. I wish I didn't. That can't be appropriate. And the thing was, so he sat...
It's so odd.
So people who haven't seen
this out, it's so odd.
He's sitting there, top off. In a meeting room, with a laptop on him.
Yeah.
With a woman giving him a massage.
Laptop in front of him.
It's on him, though. The camera's on him, is what I mean.
Oh, okay, right, right.
Yeah. And in the write-up that he's put himself, presumably, he's put, so grateful that the culture of this company allows me to do this. It's your company!
Yeah.
It's your company! Yeah.
What a non-toxic culture that is.
You walk in completely butt naked into your own office, swinging a towel around your head and go to FYI, I'm so pleased the culture lets me do this.
I love the fact that you let me do this. Look at you, looking at me nude. I love that. I think that's great.
I don't think you should be doing it.
No, exactly. But we do it at the Ramble, though, regularly.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm the one that gives the massages. Go on, Vish, you were going to say something.
No, I don't need to say anything.
You're desperate for me to press the brake button.
I think it's unfair of you to expect Vish to follow that.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Ow! It makes me laugh, this man. 20 years old, I was still drinking the milk for my mom. This guy is so...
He's 20.
So huge. No, I'm very impressed.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Does Jules not realise that's a joke? At 20, really?
Yeah. I think it's like he's gone too
small,
extreme.
Do you think because he's still small enough to be cradled and breastfed that there's a chance that Zola at the age of 20 was still...
I mean, it always recalls Joaquin, doesn't it? The fact that he was breastfed at halftime during games when he was like 7.
I mean, you said this to me before. It's just, it's baffling. Isn't he still one of your favourite players, Andy?
He's still very quick and he's 41 years old. That's the secret.
Why did you say that as if you should be ashamed of yourself? Yeah. Is he still your favourite player after that?
I just think it's an odd thing.
Do you still respect it? Do you respect Joaquin?
Speaking of people turning up to work in the nude, I love that photo of him with the, was it the Copa del Rey?
Yeah, and he reprised it, didn't he, when they won the Copa del Rey again, like nearly 20 years later.
Yeah, how about that? He got his old Betis out. dear. France 4, Scotland 1. Billy Gilmour scored his first Scotland goal.
It's an absolute gift as well, isn't it?
Mate, I tell you what, the genius
what
of...
What a pass.
The, what a 1-2 with Camavinga.
They'll be used to that. They were waiting for that in midfield when Belling was pushed aside for
that
Billy
was like,
Gilmour.
Did he sort of, like, I don't know, he sort of morphed into like a France kit or something? He's like, thanks very much.
The way the French players reacted
afterwards,
look at each other like... Is he definitely allowed to do that? I couldn't believe it. Can he must be offside.
Must be offside. You're offside, mate.
One of the most convenient things, though, is that, like, and football often has these moments, they're one of the best teams in the world, and Camavinga plays that pass with such assurance that no one really turns around, and when they do, they double take. They look and they're like, oh, okay, this is one of them. Yeah, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Oh God, no, he's onside. So good.
Lovely finish as well.
Yeah, the slow-mo is so good.
You could not do a more dictionary definition grabbing of an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just rifled it in.
It was almost like. Like he was giving two fingers to Camavinga as he lashed it in.
Look how hard I can kick it.
Yeah, thanks very much, dickhead. You know, it was a lovely one. But it was short lived, of course, because Pavard scored. He got a fairly quick double, Andy. That's not is it?
First double header for France since Zizou in the 98 World Cup final.
Lovely stat. Is it the first double for a French fullback since Lilian Thuram in that same tournament?
And does that still count when he's playing at centre half?
True.
He was playing centre back, and that was in the semi final, wasn't it? I think it was the semi final to Rams called those two.
He did, yeah.
The thing is, Pavard is an uncommonly good finisher for a defender.
Mm. Oh, he did like everything. That half volley.
That was amazing. Yeah. That was like
banged
a work of art.
The top final, top corner, even. Yeah.
It was almost like the way France channeled this. Because you guys mentioned, I think it was on Monday's show, that you thought that France would probably handpick Scotland as an opponent.
Here. Jim mentioned that.
They did,
apparently.
Well, I'm sure they did. And the way that France reacted to that mistake they made was pretty ruthless. I mean, it's pretty like, this is now what we're capable of.
Which is why when I get excited about England and then you see France, you're like, oh yeah, they're still there, aren't they? We need Switzerland to do us a solid again, like they did at the Euros.
Yes.
But this time we need to capitalise on it.
Yeah, we definitely need a situation where the favourite for the Euros next year, assuming it isn't England, get knocked out in a surprising knockout game.
Yeah.
Potentially on penalties.
Yeah,
that'll
do.
Switzerland will be great for that. 0-0, thanks very much.
Yep.
4-1 on penalties, great. Yeah.
Look, Croatia did Argentina a solid at the World Cup.
They did.
Did they not? You know, it's that kind of thing. Although, again, I'm already speaking as if England are in the latter stages. So up yours, everybody.
But the great thing for Scotland is they haven't got to worry about this, right?
They don't.
No. They're D-mob happy.
Well, I mean, you know, people can say, 4-1, they were impressive. Scotland did make eight changes from the team that lost to Spain. Mm-hmm. You know, Scotland's second string, Andy.
Yeah.
And also, while Camavinga did provide the assist, the actual move itself from Scotland was pretty good.
It was.
You know, leading up to that chance.
Well, they twisted him up so much that they thought, don't worry, lads, he's going to set us up.
Yeah, they're all dizzy.
Yeah.
Speaking of twisting people up, Mbappe is set up for the second goal where the entire Scotland defence was like, don't show him in his right foot, don't show him in his left foot. Don't show him in his left foot.
Get the ball off him.
They should have watched Newcastle against PSG for how to deal with older Killian. Shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should
very
have
very quiet night in the office he had then.
Very quiet, yeah. But I mean, you know, that's Do they have a player like Sean Longstaff?
Probably not.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
I think the thing is...
Could he get an England call-up, Andy? There's a few little murmurs.
Some of the questions you have to deal with off the bat from Marcus. No, yeah. No preparation.
After we've done a massive list of England midfielders, yeah. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Although he has been excellent for Newcastle. There's
Andy
no
just suddenly
that.
Remembered that he lives in Newcastle. Yeah.
That's what I was doing. What time's my train? They won't remember. It would be a bit of a heel turn from Southgate, wouldn't it, to go sit down with Declan Rice before the tournament and go, look, you've been fantastic for me. But as a little fella, I want you to
have
me.
You been PSU? Have you been PSU?
Yeah.
Dan Burn at left back, Andy, what I'm saying.
No, I've been talking to Jordan Henderson, and it turns out they do average history in football, actually. So I'm just
I definitely paid to listen to a poaching episode of Marcus just firing player names at Andy. What do you think about him?
That does remind me of Tim Vickery used to do a column on the BBC, he might still do actually, about Brazilian football and you know, really, really interesting stuff. Giving you the lay of the land and, you know, a bit more about the culture of the place as well. And the comments will be full of people asking him if the Brazilian striker on Football Manager was any good.
Yeah.
What's Kerrison like? Is Allan Kardec really that good?
Yeah.
Poor bloke.
Yeah. He's the best striker ever named after a French spiritualist. There we go. I think
good
it's
enough.
Fair to say. Speaking of French spiritualists, though, speaking of the...
Ramon Dominic's last night.
Speaking of the Newcastle PSG game, as you were before, I think France were a little bit unlucky there. You're talking about how brilliant Mbappe was, not just with the penalty, but with the setup for the second Pavard goal. In a normal situation, they don't play him in this. But really, PSG are relying on France, and I guess Mbappe is relying on France to get him fitter because he missed 3 weeks of pre-season. So normally, he doesn't play these two consecutive international games, especially when they qualify in the first one and the second one's a friendly, but he's trying to get himself into nick at the moment, so unfortunate.
Andy, you would have France as favourites for the Euros next summer, would you not?
Yeah, but not massive favourites. I don't think... They're by far and away the best team in it.
So who have you got there? So we've spoken about France, we've spoken about England. Portugal were mentioned, you know, because they have some handy players. And you think about them in the World Cup, you know, I mean, they put the aforementioned Switzerland to the sword and then were beaten by Morocco, who had a phenomenal tournament.
But dare I say it, they've got a much better coach now. And I know people will have their views on Roberto Martinez.
No, I totally agree with you.
He's done great. And whereas Fernando Santos has got another job and been sacked from it since
but it's so funny with Fernando Santos because he won them the Euros and the UEFA Nations League. So two out of the three major trophies he's won for Portugal. Yeah. And yet he's still...
And he won't be doing it for Poland.
No one would ever buy him a drink in Portugal. Do you know what I mean? It's a fascinating thing.
I don't think that's quite fair. I think people appreciate what he did, but he just stayed around for way too long.
Stayed too long at the fair.
The thing is, when he's got that very pained look on his face, on the touchline...
That's just his look.
You do imagine that when he's been fired by Poland, he thought, at least I can go outdoors and smoke now.
I say, he looks like he smokes about 120 fags a day.
At least.
And has done for 40 years.
So you talk about, I mean, are there any others? Obviously, Spain. You
know, I think Portugal are in the mix.
Yeah, okay.
With Germany, I think they're a bit far off it. Spain, I think, are a little bit off it.
Can just see them, and we're going to talk about them in a moment. But you could just see them as host nation with a, you know, decent manager now. All the rest of it, you know, coming.
But that's not the evidence of your eyes. That's the weight of history.
But you had a good chat about that on OTC last week, where you talked about the idea that Nagelsmann's got a lot of kind of interesting ideas as a coach and very little time to implement them and very little time in terms of calendar time, but also time with the players. And also...
So it's good they went on a jolly to the States, isn't it?
Well, there's that, but also, you know, the point that was made, which really struck home with me on that episode, was that, you know, Nagelsmann was bombed out of Bayern Munich because a lot of the players just weren't having it. I just thought...
That's something that Bayern have talked up retrospectively.
Right, okay.
He gets on well with most of them still.
I suppose you wouldn't be Germany manager if that was the case, would you?
Exactly.
That's my point, because it seemed like a bit of a disconnect.
Maybe they got on too well.
Maybe they did.
Maybe
they all started skateboarding training.
Well, we will talk about Germany in just a moment, but Ireland are in an extraordinary position because they need to lose to the Netherlands next month in order to have a chance of still qualifying for Germany. Heard me right there.
And
it is within their interests to lose that game.
Because if Netherlands fail to qualify, they would take one of the Nation League playoff spots and Ireland would miss out. And this is something that we talked about, I think briefly, when the Nation League was first talked about. And we actually, I think we got Andy in to explain to us how it actually worked.
Mm.
And it was mentioned that there could become at some point, not very often, but there could become a massive conflict of interest around the integrity of the games. And obviously,
well, it is. It's there.
But I do enjoy you discussing the fact that Republic of Ireland are going to have to try to lose to the Netherlands.
Well, I was about to say they shouldn't have come out with this because
no one will notice. Yeah. But, well, but imagine if it was against a team who was, you know, arguably
San Marino,
slightly worse than them, but had a really good run.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, it's not likely. Yeah,
but,
it's,
but you make a fair point
because both tournaments are administered by UEFA. Mm. You can argue about how legitimate the conflict of interest is, I suppose. But actually, it's a real problem.
There's a glitch in this, and you know,
and particularly fans who are planning to go, for example.
Totally, yeah. It's a ridiculous situation, and with the complications of the UEFA Nations League and the qualifying and whatnot, you know, there was bound to be some sort of weird little, I don't know, freak loophole or something. And here it is.
The more complicated you make something, the more complicated it gets.
Indeed, yeah. And they are going to have to do something about that because you cannot, in sports, have a situation where one team thinks, yeah, it's beneficial for us to lose this.
Well, like the World Cup thing where the two teams played out a draw and they had to change the whole thing to make sure the final group games are played at the same time. Mm. You don't want to see more of that.
Yeah, no, you don't. But I mean, but at least with that, though, there is an element of we need to play in a certain way to not lose, if you see what I mean. You know,
but both teams were in that position. So
of course. Look, and I know it was you know, we agree that's not good. But this just... The remarkable thing for me is that Ireland still have a chance to qualify. I think we said the other week, oh, it's a shame that they've buggered it up and all that. But
well, I mean, the way they played, I mean, if they do go through the Nations League,
it'll be a disgrace.
They've got 6 points from 7 games.
Yeah, still in it.
In a group that...
And all they've got to do is make sure that they keep those 6 points and don't add to them. Yeah. That's what you've got to do. Yeah. I still find it hilarious that all the nations, all the British and Irish nations said for 2028, no, we're not going to take any free spots. Yeah. I would just love it if one of them... If, like, I don't know.
It'd probably be England.
Let's pick one at random. Let's say Northern Ireland just went... Everyone leaves the room. Sorry,
we'll take one.
Yeah.
If you've got 5 spare there, we'll have one of them.
Exactly. It's like for the 2030 World Cup, everyone's going, yes, all of us will have a free spot.
Yeah, right. You're Paraguay, Argentina, Uruguay, all them. Yeah. I don't know. Northern Ireland, though, they lost 1-0 at home to Slovenia, ended the night with 10 men, of course. Yeah, it's not been a happy time for them.
It's a beautiful free kick.
Yeah, Slovenia gorgeous.
And the reality is Slovenia have got much better players than them.
Slovenia having a lovely old time, Andy.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable. They're top of the group. I mean, they are in a group with Denmark, you know, so that does help. But they're equal on points. But Slovenia, they're on their way, really.
There was some quite eccentric refereeing in that. Well,
that's a very nice way of putting
it. Very diplomatic. Andy,
there's some quite eccentric refereeing everywhere you go.
Yeah. I was worried that the referee's surname was Turpin last night. Who's he going to rob? So elsewhere in Slovenia's group, San Marino. San Marino scored their first goal in 12 UEFA matches, and it was against Denmark, and it was a meaningful one. It was a bloody equaliser. They went mad. They had every right to go mad.
Shout out to the Never Any Joy Brigade. They changed their name this morning.
That's a bit of joy. Yeah, but they lost, though. They did lose.
But the goal was an amazing goal because it was Alessandro Gollanucci. I mean, the running order here says he scored the 60th minute. He did score. It was on target. Yep. Took a massive deflection off Simon. Was it Simon Kjær?
Yeah.
And... it was like, and I understand why, I'm not patronising them. I totally get it, and I'm on board with it. It was like they won the World Cup.
It was
like a 50-man pylon.
I love a pylon.
An equaliser at the 60th minute.
It was so good.
It was like Maradona scoring in a key game for Napoli. Yeah. Where all the ball boys get involved and all the subs and everything.
The other weird thing about it was, it made me think that is such a historic moment to be part of every time San Marino score a goal. You'd be tempted to David Nugent it, wouldn't you? Like, or there must be like an unwritten rule that, like, look, this it means so much just to score a goal for San Marino that you can't do that. You simply cannot, you know, steal a goal. If it's going in, you have to shepherd it in. Yeah. I would just nick it.
There was no chance to do that in that goal, though. Yeah. I mean, he basically ricocheted off the defender.
Kasper Schmeichel took it well anyway.
Oh, my goodness. He was heard sort of shouting at the ball boys and stuff. I mean, that is like, I know Denmark won the game in the end and they are still on course for qualifying, but flipping Nora.
So, you know,
they just about avoided an issue for them scoring during the World Cup, for example.
Oh, they were dreadful during the World Cup.
But the Schmeichel thing reminded me of one of Kevin De Bruyne's earliest greatest hits, where he got a massive fine when he was playing for Wolfsburg, when they were away at Eintracht Frankfurt, and he thought the ball boy didn't give the ball back quickly enough, and the mic caught him saying, "Just give me the ball, motherfucker!"
Oh, right.
It's 14
And you guys didn't even, you cowards didn't mention anything about Eden Hazard and your tribute to his retirement.
The old Swansea goal boy.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But Sunbury haven't won a game since 2004.
Yeah.
So it's getting on for 20 years now. Uh-huh. So that tells you how much of a big deal it is.
Oh, man. It was so good. Do seek that out, by the way. And as you say, it was such a scrappy one that it was delightful.
Also, the audio on the clip, it's like they've forgotten how to celebrate. They're like, ah? Huh?
Everyone's just running in all directions. Yeah. It's like a kid seeing a playground for the first time. Oh, beautiful. Bloody beautiful.
The crowd are simply stunned.
Yeah,
they are simply stunned. Indeed, they are, Andy. Gentlemen, we mentioned Germany earlier. Well, we're going to talk about them now because, unlike the British and Irish nations for 2028, Germany did choose to qualify automatically for the Euros as the host nations, as the host nation, because they're cowards, quite frankly. They therefore spent this international break on a tour of the US of America. Julian Nagelsmann won his first game in charge against the US 3-1. Which is one in the eye for Jurgen Klinsmann. The Ramble listeners were quick to point out to us that Nagelsmann was wearing quite a fetching shacket.
He was.
It's like as if he's called up his stylist and go, what do people wear in the United States when they want to blend in?
I've told you before, he looks like someone's tried to recreate Tony Adams from memory.
Tony Adams is more eccentric than him, I think.
Yeah, maybe the person trying to recreate him from memory was downplaying his eccentricity.
But Adams is a bit older, so I suppose he's got that older, eccentric style.
No, whereas
Nagelsmann's still trying to be trendy.
But Nagelsmann goes into a menswear shop and he sees a mannequin in the window and he goes, just put all of that on me.
Yes, whereas Tony Adams will walk into some sort of private members club, see the sort of the weirdest bloke in there and go, where'd you get that clobber?
Another thing, Nagelsmann has a conviction of what he wears. Like, you could walk up to him and be like, are you wearing that? And he'd be like, yeah.
No, it's wearing him though, isn't it? Always. No, the shacket was wearing him.
I know what you mean.
But you'd say like, oh, I'm surprised you're wearing that. And he's like, why? And he's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. It looks good. And he wouldn't wear it again.
he's cool about it, isn't he? I mean, he spoke quite openly about the fact that he would wear makeup on the touchline because, you know, it's HD now, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Although I don't think he's cool about it because when he started, or maybe he's developed a thicker skin now, because when he started and people started commenting on it, I can't remember what it was, but the next game in the Champions League, he was like very, very plain.
Mm. Whereas as opposed to, I think it was just before that time, it was before he'd been appointed as Bayern manager, and he started turning up to lots of their games wearing a big red coat.
Yeah, I love that.
And then he also bought a house in like Munich as well. Like, obnoxiously bought a big house.
He's like building one.
Yeah, he's building one there. Before he got the job at Bayern Munich, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite baller, actually. He's probably got an amazing walk-in closet as well.
Can I say also that they drew to him against Mexico as well, Germany.
They did.
When they've been over stateside. But one thing I would credit Julian Nagelsmann with is just being the shepherder of the late stages of Pascal Gross's career. Mm. I mean, he's now made three appearances for Germany at the age of 32, made his debut this calendar year.
Yeah.
And that is a great story.
It is.
I mean, the thing is, it's quite an interesting discussion in Germany at the moment because for that USA game, Gross played in Kimmich's position in midfield next to Ilkay Gundogan. And it's remarkable. I suppose, like, if you're a Brighton fan, like, football life is a series of remarkable occurrences at the moment.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone in Germany has been saying, well, maybe we should start Gross instead of Kimmich in the Euros. And he was left fielding these questions after the game. And he's like, well, I've got 3 caps and he's got 77.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure this is a discussion. But genuinely, they look loads better with him in the centre. Oh. He's fantastic. And Nagelsmann, talking him up afterwards, absolutely loves him,
by the
way.
And I think it's the most German thing ever, Marcus, isn't it? For Pascal Gross, having never really got a look at in the German national team, to make his debut at the age of 32, swan into the team, and win the Euros next year, come back to the Premier League. It's not that difficult.
It's not that
what
difficult.
What are you worried about?
That's going to happen.
Probably score the winner against England in the semi or something, wouldn't it?
It's going to happen, yeah. But of course, if we're talking about Germany and we're talking about the US, we've got to mention Jurgen Klinsmann, have we not?
Absolutely. We should always mention him at all times.
His gap year keeps getting better and better. He earned his first home win as coach of South America, I need to say. That would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
South Korea.
Oh, imagine the egos. Right, you're the coach of the entirety of South America. Who are you picking? I don't want the job. I don't want it.
South Korea won 4-0 in a friendly against Tunisia. Lovely old job. He then followed that up with a 6-0 win over Vietnam last night.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Hey, but it's still fruit, though.
Yeah. Was he there? Yeah.
Must have been. You don't get that kind of result over Zoom.
Yeah.
Andy, you're going to say something. You're going to give him credit. You're going to applaud the great man.
That's exactly what I was going
to
do.
Andy,
yeah.
on the scale of 1 to 10, how much of a preposterous character do you still think Klinsmann is?
11.
It's right up there.
11.
It's right up
11.
There.
I don't know.
Are you just jealous because he's in America and you're not? Sorry, I just kicked you.
I also like the fact that Klinsmann presumably took the decision to play Son for the full 90 minutes.
Yeah, he missed the game against Tunisia, but yeah, he did play against Vietnam for the whole thing.
A good, important game, that.
Absolutely. Despite calls from Tottenham for him to be rested due to an ongoing injury, he was seen limping at half time.
Yeah,
but he still played on, and that's that kind of spirit that you just cannot buy.
I think
in
football, the nature of Spurs fans means that they are currently, whether they want to admit it or not, just going in their own mind over and over all the things that can go wrong between now and the end of the season.
Yeah,
and Son getting badly injured is probably in there.
Indeed. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Do you reckon Son was thinking about coming off, and Clinton said, "Look, if you're not, you're not going to give your all for this team, I don't know what to say to you.
The least you can do is turn up."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
And that is true. They told me that. As they said, that was the least I could do.
At least he scored in the game, though.
Yeah.
That would be a sickener, wouldn't it, if you play Vietnam, you win 6-0, and it's like, oh, I didn't even add to my tally.
Imagine if someone went back to Spurs with a season-ending cruciate ligament injury. I know what you're saying, but I did score. Yeah. Stretching for that fifth. Yeah. I've ruptured my anterior cruciate ligament, but it was worth it because I did score.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't play.
Anyway,
against...
see you in July.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll just sit out the Man City game or whatever it is. Yeah, oh, dearie me. We mentioned, or I foolishly mentioned, South America there, chaps. So I'd like just to kind of end with some South American stuff. Brazil lost to Uruguay.
I did wonder where that was going. Jesus. Yeah. I planned for the rest of my day.
I've been on nights out with Pete when he says I'd like to end with some South American stuff. And it's not quite gone like that.
Oh dear, the naivety of me, Andy. Yeah, Brazil, they were beaten by Uruguay for the first time.
Say it properly, they were beaten by Bielsa.
Bielsa. Yeah. First time since 2001. Considering Uruguay's pedigree in, say, the Copa America in particular... but yeah, Brazil didn't have a great time. I mean, they drew at home with Venezuela in the qualifying. I mean, they're still third, of course, but Argentina are the pace setters. But yeah, great win for Uruguay. Obviously, Darwin Nunes on the score sheet once again. So it's all to play for. But lovely to see Venezuela up in fourth.
Going back to the Uruguay thing, it is a really interesting situation. And we touched on it before with Bielsa at Uruguay, because there was a feeling that when he was at Chile, they didn't quite have the belief.
Yes.
But Uruguay definitely do. Uruguay have got this kind of arrogant swagger about them, you know, thinking themselves as like the kind of the original South American football team and winning all these trophies back in the day and stuff like that. That is a really interesting combination, because whatever you say about Bielsa, I know every single virgin on the internet that likes football thinks he's the greatest coach of all time. He doesn't actually win that much. Mm. If he could get like a trophy
for
Uruguay.
He's about developing players.
Exactly. And if he could get a trophy of that kind of level on his CV, wouldn't that just be incredible?
I think
the main thing is he's got to really marshal dumping Suarez and Cavani. Which he'll do in about 10 minutes, probably. Yeah.
Which he'll do in 10 minutes in the same meeting with both of them and not make eye contact with either
Definitely
one of them.
No eye contact.
Right, anyway, that's enough. See you later.
He's like a man on the London Underground.
Yeah, he is. Always. Plastic bag as well.
He did win the Summer Olympics with Argentina, by the way.
Okay.
Bielsa.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, that's a major...
Well done for looking that up.
Thank you.
But I don't think it goes against anything I've said.
No, it doesn't.
Which event would he do to not embarrass himself?
What do you
Just
mean?
Extending from our Patreon talk.
Oh, Bielsa's definitely an archer.
He's got good legs because he squats all the time.
True. I find it remarkable a man of his age can squat for that long.
Yeah.
On the knee, the pressure on the knees. He's quite a big guy as well. The pressure on the knees must be incredible.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably worked out that's less hazardous than sitting on the esky after he sat on the coffee that time.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Very true. Well, it was Brazil's first loss in a World Cup qualifier since 2015. Mm. 37 games unbeaten they were.
Yeah.
And along comes Bielsa.
Yeah, it's always the teams you least expect, isn't it?
It is.
to win that many games.
It absolutely is. So there we are, everybody. What a way to finish the Football Ramble. Thank you very much for listening, of course. The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. If you're not signed up yet, get yourself over to the Patreon by hitting the link in the show notes. Do remember, everybody, that you can now access and download all of our ad-free shows and bonus Patreon content on Spotify and every other major podcast provider, so there is absolutely no excuse not to sign up now. Do follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. There we are. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Cheers.
Thank you, Vidujan Andraraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Bressel.
Grazie mille.
And thank you, England. See you soon, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.